Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyaha sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvan api nalipyate. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One who is on the path of liberation by Krishna consciousness is very dear to every living being, and every living being is dear to him. This is due to his Krishna consciousness. Such a person cannot think of any living being as separate from Krishna, just as the leaves and branches of a tree are not separate from the tree. He knows very well that by pouring water on the root of the tree, the water will be distributed to all the leaves and branches. Or by supplying food to the stomach, the energy is automatically distributed throughout the body. Because one who works in Krishna consciousness is servant to all. He is very dear to everyone. And because everyone is satisfied by his work, he is in pure consciousness. Because he is pure in consciousness, his mind and body is completely controlled. And because his mind is controlled, his senses are also controlled. Because his mind is always fixed on Krishna, there is no chance of his being deviated from Krishna, nor is there a chance that he will engage his senses in matters other than the service of the Lord. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. Here we find, in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining the qualities of a pure soul. In this world, there's so much conflict, so much animosity. We find that there are wars between nations. There is conflict between various religions. There is wars between various castes. There is a wars between people of different colors. There are even wars between brothers and brothers, between fathers and sons, everywhere throughout the planet. Krishna explains, unless we purify our consciousness, unless we awaken devotion to God, we are potentially envious of everyone or anyone, even our closest near and dear ones. But a person who has a pure heart, what does pure mean? It means a heart that has been cleansed of all contaminations, anarthas. And what are those anarthas? They are generally classified in six categories. The first is kama, lust, material attachment. When lust is unfulfilled, it creates anger. When lust is unfulfilled, it creates greed, more and more and more for myself. When someone else has what we want, envy awakens within our heart. When somehow or other we conquer our enemies, we become very proud. And through all this, we are simply immersed in a grand illusion. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and illusion. These are the only enemies in this world. And one who can conquer these enemies is considered a Mahatma, a great soul. It is said in the Bhagavatam that even great kings who conquer the whole world and put it under his subjugation, when they come back to their palace, they are simply the slaves of their senses and their mind. So in spiritual circles, we do not give respect to people. We give respect to everyone, but we are not impressed by people who can conquer nations or can win votes, who can acquire mass empires within their industry or within whatever field of work they're in. But we worship and adore a person who has conquered these six enemies. Because that person is free. That person is liberated from all suffering and all bondage. These six enemies are living within our mind. Therefore, Rishabhdev explained that the mind is the worst of all enemies. Because it is the sitting place of these six powerful, powerful agents of Maya, or the illusory energy. And one who can clean his mind, purify his mind, rid his mind of these six anarthas, that person can be happy and peaceful in every situation of life. But as long as we are victimized, we can find no real peace anywhere. Krishna says in Gita, lust is never satisfied. It burns like fire. No matter how much you feed it, it wants more and more and more. Krishna is explaining here that such a rare and fortunate soul who has purified his consciousness of all selfish material motivations, he is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. It is the nature of the soul to want to be loved. In fact, without that love, our life is frustrated and lonely. Everyone is always searching for the perfect friend, for the perfect lover, for the perfect master. But in this material world, that perfect love that the soul is seeking cannot be found. It can only be found in that divine relationship between the soul and Krishna. And those great personalities who have surrendered their lives to Krishna, their lives are simply the manifestation of God's love to the world. There is only one love between the soul and God. And because every living being is part of God, Krishna wants to express his love through every part of Him, which means all of us to all others. When we used to ask our Guru Maharaj, how is it that such sinful, terrible people, even people that are blaspheming you and trying to destroy you, how is it that you love them? He would say, it is not my love. It is Krishna's love. The pure heart simply becomes the instrument for Krishna to love the world and to show compassion to the world. And it is the first duty of all of us to purify our hearts and allow ourselves to be instruments of Krishna's love. That is real welfare work. That is real compassion. Our desire should not to seek to be loved. Our desire should be to seek to love. As it is explained here, because a pure soul sees Krishna in everyone's heart, he is able to love everyone without discrimination. And therefore, everyone will love that person in exchange, because they are finding the love of God that they are seeking everywhere and anywhere through the pure soul. Of course, one may ask, then why is it that such great personalities, when they come to this world, some love them, but some hate them, are threatened by them, and even persecute them and kill them? Why? Actually, the soul in the heart of the persecutors loves that person. But because their minds are so much attached to rebelling against God, they are threatened by the existence of someone who is teaching surrender to God. In one sense, it's like childishness. When a parent tries to discipline its child, sometimes the child becomes angry and says, I hate you. Sometimes the child even hits the parents, strikes with hand. But the parent does not take it very seriously. The parent knows that the child is simply infatuated by illusion. So in the same way, this world is full of childish, immature, foolish people who even strike out against God and His representatives. But actually, it is their very inherent nature to love God and love God's devotees. Therefore, a devotee is willing to take all risks to show their love even to such persons. The story of Srila Haridas Thakur. He was chanting the glories of the holy name, spreading love of God. The process of awakening this pure consciousness, the process of cleansing our heart of all of these material contaminations, is the chanting of the holy name of God. Sarvopadiva nirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchate. At this particular time, there are so many upadis, sarva upadi. Upadi means a wrong conception. We are thinking, I am this body. I am of this particular religion, or I am this particular caste, or I am of this particular nationality. The soul has nothing to do with any of these external designations. The soul is part of God, transcendental, Satchit Ananda. But while we are in this body, we must utilize this body in the service of God. Just like devotees, they wear a certain dress. Recently somebody said, What is this nonsense that a devotee should wear a certain type of dress? After all, we're not this body. It's all Maya. It doesn't matter what. So I responded to this person, if you're not this body, then stop eating while you're feeding your body. If you're not the body, then stop sleeping. If you're not the body, then why do you wear anything? The fact is, we are not this body. But this body is meant to be utilized in Krishna's service. Therefore, everything we do with this body, we want to use for glorifying Krishna. We put on tilak to sanctify our body as a temple of God and to let the world know that this body is a temple of Krishna. Just like when we go down the street, we see so many houses, so many buildings. One is a restaurant. One is a government office. One is selling clothes. One is selling jewelry. Another is selling furniture. Another is a carpenter shop. Another is what you call permit room. They all have their signs in front, what you find. But when you come to a temple of God, you will find either Omkara, or you will find a chakra, or you will find a trident, or you will find a crescent moon and a star or a cross to show that in this particular building you will find nothing happening except the worship of God and the devotion to God. So this body that we have is a temporary residence for the soul. And when we mark our body with devotional ornaments, we are showing that this particular residence, the only thing that is going on in it is service to God, worship of God. This is a temple. Tilak means the temple of the Lord. When you see the chakra on top of a temple, you know that unless I want God, I shouldn't go inside. When a devotee puts on his tilak, or wears his kanti mala, or wears dhoti, we are revealing to society that if you want to learn about God, if you want to worship God, then I will be part of it. If you have any other motivations, this body is not for that. So although we are not this body, we want to utilize this body to glorify the essence of who we are. We are the eternal servant of Krishna. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nitya Das. Everything we say, everything we do, everything we wear, everything we think, we want it to bring us closer to God. And we want to utilize it to bring others closer to God. But these upadis, these misconceived designations, must be cleansed from our heart. Illusion, ignorance, is what's keeping everyone in suffering and frustrated condition of life. When we realize that we are the eternal soul, then there's no more misery, there's no more suffering. There's only loving reciprocation, ecstasy. So Haridas Tagore, he was preaching that you are not this body. You are part of Krishna. The inherent treasure within your heart is to love Krishna, to know Krishna. And that the key to open the treasure of your heart is Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. When we chant the holy name of Krishna, we cleanse all of these anartas, impurities from our heart. We defeat, destroy, and remove all of these six enemies from our heart. This is why we chant Harinam Kirtan. It is not simply a ritual. It is not simply a tradition. It is the most sublime scientific process of purifying our consciousness and bringing it back to its original natural state, where there is no more birth, no more death, no more suffering, no more illusion. Krishna Surya Sa Maya Hoya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhikar. These enemies can only live in darkness. Darkness means ignorance. Just like when the sun goes down, people lock their doors because that is the time when thieves and rogues and dacoits have the most power. In the same way, when our heart, when our consciousness is in darkness, ignorance of our eternal position as God's eternal part and parcel, God's beloved devotee, in that darkness, all the enemies, they gain great strength and they conquer our lives. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and illusion. The holy name of Krishna is none different than Krishna himself. And Krishna is compared to the sun. Ignorance, darkness, cannot stand in the presence of God. Similarly, in the presence of God's name, when it is chanted sincerely and purely, then all of these enemies, all of these unwanted, impure contaminations of the heart have to flee away from us. They cannot remain. And this is the only problem in this world, is that we're still living with our own enemies. Worse than that, we are making friends with our enemies. When lusty desire comes in our mind, we befriend and become the slave of that desire. Yoga means to conquer these enemies, to conquer darkness with light. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya. The spiritual master, he is giving us the name of God. He is giving us the proper life by which he opens our darkened consciousness and brings light and truth. So Haridas Thakur was preaching this message to everyone he would meet. He didn't care whether they were Hindus or whether they were Muslims, whether they were Brahmins or untouchables. He saw that everyone is part of Krishna, that Krishna is in everyone's heart, that everyone is my brothers and my sisters, that everyone is beloved by my soul. So let everyone come together and enjoy the sweet flavor of love of God. And so many, tens, hundreds, and thousands of people surrendered at his lotus feet and attained the perfection of life. But others were threatened by him. And the people who were most threatened by him We're not materialistic people as we know them, but materialistic people who were hiding behind the veil of religion. It was the so-called religious leaders who are hypocritical, who had material motivations to fulfill through exploiting the innocent masses in the name of God. Historically, we find that these people are always the greatest enemies to the pure servants of God. In the Western religions, Jesus Christ was persecuted most by the high priests of the religion that was present at that time. At the time of the Prophet Muhammad, they were hunting to kill him, and they killed most of his original disciples. Who? The priests of the temples. And similarly, at the time of Haridas Thakur, it was the hypocritical Muslim and Hindu priests that considered him an enemy because he was teaching truth. In the name of God, they were preaching hate, sectarianism, for their own purposes. Most religious leaders throughout the world teach this: sectarianism and hatred toward others in the name of love of God. And they become very famous, very powerful, and very politically exploitive. And when someone comes to teach the truth, they are exposed. So they complained to the government, and Haridas was sentenced to be beaten and killed. And as they were beating him with sticks, he was seeing Krishna in the heart of those who were beating him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that he took his Sudarshan Chakra and was ready to kill those demons by cutting their heads off. But he was powerless to do so because Haridas Thakur was not crying for the pains of his own body. He was crying at the pains of these people's ignorance. He was praying to God, "Please grant me the blessing that they be forgiven and they be given your loving service." This is the quality not only of Haridas Thakur, but of the pure soul that is within every living being. This is the goal of life: to awaken this divine consciousness so that everyone becomes dear to you and you become dear to everyone's soul. And this revolution of consciousness can only come about when we love Krishna. If you love Krishna, automatically, simultaneously, all other virtues and good qualities follow. There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which explains that one who is a pure devotee of Krishna has all the good qualities of God, the demigods, all the great sages and rishis. But one who is not a pure devotee of Krishna really has no good qualities at all, because everything is based on mental concoction and illusion. The so-called good qualities of one who is not pure in heart is like a mirage in the desert. However pious they may be, it's all based on an illusion. To be charitable and compassionate to a person's body is considered to be a great, great, great virtue today. But actually, it is an illusion unless we are charitable and compassionate to the person's soul as well. Because the body is dead. It's always been dead and it always will be dead. It is only due to the presence of the soul that there's any life within our body or anyone's body. Real love means for the soul. Real love means for Krishna. For Krishna within our own heart. For Krishna within the heart of every living being. For Krishna, who is the Lord of Vrindavan, who is the master of all living beings, and who is Rasaraj, who is always inviting everyone to enter into his wonderful loving pastimes. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this sublime message that Krishna's beautiful pastimes are not something that occurred just 5,000 years ago. But it is Nitya Lila. His wonderful pastimes are eternally taking place in the heart of all those pure souls who remember him and who chant his holy names. Therefore, Mahaprabhu has said, this is the prime benediction for humanity at large. To learn to take shelter of Krishna's names. But he also explained that it is impossible for anyone to take shelter of Krishna's names unless they learn to take shelter of Krishna's devotees. Because it is the devotees of the Lord who reveal the process and the truth of the name to our life. And unless we properly learn to show our affection to the devotees of the Lord, those who are dear to the Lord, those who are honestly and sincerely trying to serve the Lord, then we can chant millions of names every day, but the name will never reveal himself to us. So this combination is so simple, but so sublime. Simply learn how to properly associate with devotees. Hear from them. Serve them with humility. Accept spiritual master who teaches you this process. And regularly, attentively, come together with such fortunate souls to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. In this way, remove all these upadis, all these anarthas, all these unwanted contaminations of the heart. In that pure state, there is pure joy, there is pure ecstasy, there is pure love. This is the goal of life. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. So always working, such a man is never entangled. Krishna explains here that one must control one mind and senses. This is a very, very difficult thing to do. Arjuna said to Krishna that to control the mind, it seems more difficult than to control the wind. The uncontrolled wind, we have seen what cyclones and hurricanes have done. They can tear down trees. They can destroy entire cities. How to control the mind and the senses? By simply trying to stop them, ultimately we will be defeated. But by using them in Krishna's service, the mind and senses become our best friends. With our eyes, let us come to the temple to behold the beautiful form of Sri Radha Gopinath. If you see any objects of beauty in this world, it only agitates your mind, leaves your mind unfulfilled. But if you see with a humble heart the beautiful form of Sri Radha Gopinath, our very soul is touched with the ultimate pleasure of life. And our ears, when we hear the ambrosial sound of the kirtan of Krishna's holy name, when we hear the philosophy of the glorification of our beloved Lord, our ears are under perfect control. And our tongue, our nature is to speak all gossip and all nonsense. But when we chant the name of the Lord, when we praise the teachings of the Lord, when we glorify the devotees of the Lord, then our tongue becomes our best friend. It becomes perfectly controlled. Guru Maharaj used to say that some gurus, they give their disciple the vow of Mona. You become silent, you say nothing. He said, for somebody who speaks all nonsense, better they say nothing. But that is not a very high state of consciousness. To utilize the tongue for the purpose of chanting the glories of the Lord is the perfect form of controlling our senses. In this way, in the association of devotees of the Lord, we learn the process by which all of our senses and our mind become perfectly controlled in the service of Krishna. And the most wonderful and sublime process to engage every one of our limbs and senses in Krishna's loving service joyfully is the Sankirtan of the Holy Name. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught this process. During the Kirtan, all of your senses, your mind, your entire existence is under perfect control. Our arms are raised when we chant the holy name of the Lord. We're offering our bodies, our lives at His lotus feet. Every limb of our body is gracefully offering itself in the service of Krishna. Our tongue is chanting. Our ears are hearing the holy name. Our eyes are seeing the beautiful form of the deities and the beautiful form of the Vaishnavas. Our sense of touch is engrossed in offering ourselves in dance and in prayer to the Lord. Our nose is smelling the sweet incense coming from the altar being offered to the Lord. This, and our mind is engrossed in the sound of the holy name. This process of Hari Kirtan is considered the supreme most form of meditation. The body, the mind, the soul, every part of us is immersed in offering itself to Krishna. Sitting silently like this, our mind, we are trying to concentrate, but our limbs become sore, they distract us. We're trying to forget the body. We're trying to forget everything. This is considered in the Shastra to be an inferior form of meditation. We don't want to forget we're this body. We know we are not this body. We want to offer this body to Krishna. We don't want to forget the mind. We want to offer it to Krishna. We don't want to forget the senses. We want to offer them to Krishna. In this Harinam Sankirtan, everything is being offered to Krishna. Therefore, it's a complete, holistic, and perfect form of total absorption in the Supreme. And that is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that it is the prime benediction for all humanity to come together with the devotees of the Lord to chant His holy names. So I'd like everyone to now hear the translation of Sri Kardama Muniji, and then after we will accept the sublime mercy of the Lord, completely absorb our consciousness in the ultimate gift of God in this world, the congregational chanting of the name of Krishna.